Hey everyone.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to another episode of Eigen Bros. This week we're talking about asteroid mining as an industrial endeavor.
Indeed.
And I guess we get into some of the details of what that would entail, how it would shape the economy in some way, right?
Yeah, we talked about economics, politics with it involved.
Yeah.
I guess we do talk a good bit about all the sectors there.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, well, I mean, because, you know, this is a physics-facing podcast, so this is directly related to that. Because, like, you more than likely, if you're a physicist or even, like, an engineer or something...
You're going to have to deal with politics.
You're also going to have a job if you want to go into space mining.
Absolutely. Yeah, so yeah. This might maybe awaken some interesting insights for you to, or companies that you may be able to apply for in the future. Cause yeah. I mean, it's very real. I mean, me and Juan kind of talk about what we think, you know, is going to happen
off.
With that.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And then, we ended with a little bit of Star Wars talk because, well, you know, we're talking about potential wars and conflict that'll happen. Mm. And then we naturally got into the actual Star Wars new trilogy.
So about the 45-minute mark, you know, yeah. If you haven't seen the new Star Wars, then you know you can turn it off for spoilers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we do go into it pretty in depth.
Yeah, yeah. So. We talk about the overall scheme of Star Wars and stuff, comparing it to the old trilogies.
Yeah.
And where this new trilogy has its place in all those with respect to those. So if you're kind of a Star Wars fan in some way, then stay tuned. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to like,
share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Make sure you guys check out the website, eigenbros.com. Mm-hmm. I actually put up some math integrals on there. So if you guys want to check out some cool math integrals, it's I got some from the Flammable Maths YouTube channel. Some really hard integrals. Then we also have the Twitter, which is at Eigen Bros. We have the TikTok, Eigen Bros 2, and then we also have Instagram. So check all that out, guys, and we will see you in a bit.
3, 2, 1, we're live.
We are back.
Welcome to another episode of Eigen Bros.
What's up, folks?
I hope everything is going okay with you all. Today, we were about to get into an argument.
Juan was putting his hands up for a second.
Something about, well, this episode, if the introduction wasn't enough, I guess we'll talk about
something in the intro.
We're talking about asteroids and potential Star Wars. No, I'm just kidding.
specifically, we're talking about asteroid mining.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the you know.
But then I wanted to talk about the Star Wars movie.
Yeah. So Juan diverted us a little bit.
Yeah. So please bear with us for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we can probably carry this out for, you know, if we need to, an hour and a half at least. You know. So.
And then pop in some asteroid mining stuff. Yeah. Well, I mean, you would get.
I'm saying we could actually record for an hour and a half if we need to. So,
oh, I see.
You know.
Well, you might get some potential Star Wars from clashes with asteroid mining, right?
You would,
right?
That's why I thought it would be relevant. You
it
know?
Is relevant.
Because it's like it's interstellar stuff, you know. Yeah. Star Wars is all about that kind of thing. Yeah. So why not? You know?
Why not? I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, okay. So you did a little bit of research, first of all.
On the asteroid mining?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So can you give us like a quick rundown of what it means like politically? What goes into all of this? Like mining asteroids. There's a lot of regulations, right? Like
there are some regulations. I didn't really actually look into much of like regulation and policy. I think FCC would probably be in charge of that stuff.
Really? I would think the UN would come together and make some kind
the
of
the UN has some things involved there too, because they have an agreement. I think there's like 18 nations or some handful of nations have an agreement where the moon is designated like a its own land that's unowned by anyone in the world, so it's kind of like a collective ownership of Earth.
Socialism, folks.
But then then again, I don't really buy that, like, because imagine if the U.S. really wanted the moon, like, who's going to stop us, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So these things are still, like, in its infancy, right? I don't know if any policy really has much effect when it comes to interstellar stuff still.
Yeah.
Besides, like, you know, what airspace you can travel in and that kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah, but asteroid mining, the whole thing behind it is, to put it simply, we want to mine asteroids in the future to be able to get a bunch more resources than we would have to the availability on Earth.
Typically, this is like rare earth metals, right?
This is anything. So anything. This is like, you could get platinum, gold, silver.
We're talking about like,
iron, copper, yeah. And even water. So water is probably one of the primary resources for asteroid mining.
Mm.
So it's a very, very lucrative endeavor potentially. Mm-hmm. And I think after all the research I've done on it, I have a feeling that this is one of the big major, what would you say? The major, realms of the future. I think we're going to be
for industry.
I think so. I think this is, it's convinced me more and more that I was looking at it now and seeing all the companies that are involved. I think this is going to be a big step in our future trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say maybe this will usher in a post-scarcity era, but
it kind of will. It will in some sense.
Will it make things really cheap?
Maybe not. So the thing is, it will make things cheaper. Mm. There's a couple ways to do it. So you can either, let's say if you get an asteroid, right, you can either capture it and bring it to Earth.
Or put it into orbit?
You can put it into orbit. That's kind of not really necessary, though, because you can just mine the asteroid where it is. So that's called in situ, I think. Resource collection is what they call it. So in situ is the Latin, I think, for at where it's at.
Where it's environment.
Yeah, it's like that. So you're not moving the asteroid, basically, is what that means. And that in situ way is supposed to make it so that the value of the asteroid is still retained. Because if you brought it to Earth, let's say, you actually now crashed all those resources to such a level that they actually are very low in value because they're so abundant now. So you have to find this, you have to strike a balance between keeping the resource valuable, but also making it more available. Mm-hmm. So keeping it in space and actually mining it that way seems to be what people think is going to be the actual future of how to do this.
Oh, so you're going to be working to keep things scarce in a way.
Yeah, you need to keep it somewhat scarce. So it's like you'll have it available, but you know, if you have to actually mine it, you have to transport it to, like, let's say the moon or something, en route to the moon, and then the moon transports it to Earth. That's a lot of steps for still keeping the value high, right? Because you need to pay the workers, you need to actually pay for the fuel. Well, actually, you can use the asteroid for fuel, but you need to pay for that process to where it's still going to cost money.
Yeah.
But the fact that you have that abundance of resource, though, means that companies are going to be willing to shell out money to actually get those resources and use them at a higher rate.
Interesting. So this is an untapped potential for $1 trillion industry or something.
That's exactly what it is. People call it the $1 trillion industry. So the people who are going to be making the trillions are going to be the ones who are setting up the infrastructure, like SpaceX, you know, Blue Origin, the billionaires on the I think it's called something like Planetary Something Incorporated. I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
So
all these people, billionaires and whatever, they're stepping in early. They want to be the new Rockefellers. They want to be the new oil tycoons in the
sense, call it the new gold rush. It's like the new the space gold rush, essentially, is what it's going to be. And I mean, I can see the writing on the wall. It seems pretty legitimate to me. I couldn't really think of what would stop it besides affordability.
Yeah.
But what we've already seen with like the Falcon 9s and SpaceX already shows that, you know, it looks likely that they're going to be able to make things affordable. So the affordability into getting into space is kind of one of the big roadblocks, or was one of the big roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
Money.
How far off does that look, though, in the future, I guess?
Some people were saying decades.
And I mean, not a century.
Not a century. And I mean, that seems likely to me as well. Like, just looking at the trajectory, we've already got companies that are making some of the equipment for it, some of the main equipment, like... there's a company, I think, called TransAstra. You might have to look that up. But they, I think I included a link there. They actually created a optical miner. So let me
basically
kind of...
a laser that... I mean, it's
in a little bit,
optical,
it's not I wouldn't call it a laser. Okay. It's just basically directing sunlight to actually mine. So you know how we typically, when we mine normal ore on Earth, it's with a drill. This would be, so the problem is with asteroids, they have microgravity because, you know, an asteroid can be like, let's say, like it's a millionth of the size of what Earth would be, right? So it's going to have such a small gravity that you cannot actually drill on it without the whole thing just breaking apart. So what they do is they actually...
F=ma, baby.
Yeah, so they want to encase it inside of this equipment where they can actually mine it with light rays directed onto it. So those light rays actually will burn up the rocky material and the metallic material, and then it will evaporate the water inside those asteroids. And then they can use that water for fuel. They can use that metal and rock for other things. And it's just a really nice and efficient way to actually mine those asteroids for the resources that you need.
Wow, space physicists.
And they're already developing that with the company TransAstra.
Nice. So that's potentially a new industry opening up for physicists, I imagine, right? Because and engineers and all this stuff.
Yeah. Physicists, engineers. I mean, it looks very feasible. Like nothing stood out to me that was like, oh, this is a huge hurdle to get over. Everything seems like a logical pathway towards possibility. Mm-hmm. And there's people working on it. There's a handful of companies that are already putting money and time and resources into this thing. And I, like I said, like the billionaires like Sergey Brin or
Virgin.
Maybe not Sergey. It was one of the Google guys. Uh-huh. I forget who it is. Maybe not Sergey. The other one.
I'm sure that's not
the Virgin guy. Yep. Whatever his name is. Sergey. Blonde dude. Huh?
Sergey. Is that what you call him?
No, Sergey Brin is... The
it's a very
Google
suspect
guy.
Name, Terrence. I don't know if I believe you.
It's not a troll name, I swear.
Wow, he must have been bullied.
But
a
I
lot.
Don't know if that's the guy. There's two founders of Google, and I don't remember the other guy. But yeah, there's people putting money into this, and then of course we know Elon Musk is doing the reusable rockets, and then of course the same with Blue Origin and Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, the reusable rockets thing is probably the one that seems the most like front facing towards asteroid mining to me.
It's definitely like one of the preliminary steps, I think, because it's actually allowing you to cheapen now the transport to and fro of goods, to actually create infrastructure to make in situ resource collectors possible. So that's going to be a big one, and I think that's why Elon Musk chose that pathway too. It was a very smart pathway to choose, because this is like the very first stages, right? So you need to have a way to transport resources to and from space pretty easily.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So I think that's really a smart way to go. And I think that's why Jeff Bezos is doing the same.
Well, you're going to run into, you know, pretty soon there'll be trillions of dollars that these companies are going to amass. And then pretty soon they'll have political influence. And then, you know, you might have different
They've
individuals.
They've already got political influence.
Yeah. But I'm saying even more so, because now you would have presumably different people from different nationalities that also have money in asteroid mining. Who knows? I'm just saying, like, rich people from across the world.
Maybe.
Like, there was that famous Mexican guy who had, like, who the richest man alive. Did you know this? For some time, he just made his wealth off of payphones.
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
That's crazy.
Yeah, he just owned a bunch of payphones.
Wow, that's brilliant. Easy money.
Yeah, back in the day when you used to have to pay 50 cents or 25 cents to make a phone call and then collect whatever.
And that was him.
That was him.
Damn.
I forget his name, but yeah, he's probably not rich now.
Money. What do you say? Because
it's hard to maintain wealth.
Is it hard to maintain billions? I think that's really, you got to be really stupid to fuck up billions. Especially if you're a guy who created the billions, then I doubt you would lose it.
The people
who lose billions are the ones that are
anymore.
Trust fund kids.
Well, he's not on the list anymore, I think. I mean, those guys.
He could have just been knocked down to like 10 billion, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, with phone, like if that was your, I mean, he would have had to transfer his wealth into something else, because payphones are pointless.
Well, he can transfer his money into just investments.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can literally just sit on top of your money and just make money.
Yeah.
At that point, there's no way to lose it unless you're really fucking up.
Yeah,
I find it really hard to believe.
It's like the Blockbuster situation, where it's like,
well, they were stupid though.
You don't adapt to the market in a way. So that's kind of
but
what
they also,
I suspect that's what he did. What happened to him?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I can't really comment.
But anyway, my point is that he actually, what was my point bringing up? I totally forgot.
That you were saying different nationalities and people are
going to
have
He might, you know, if it was him, he might be like, okay, I'm going to start a space company space mining company, and then, you know, then he has political influence, and then say there's an asteroid or something, or yeah, how do you divvy up resources in that way? And then pretty soon we're going to get into conflict, I imagine.
Yeah, maybe. Way. But the thing is, it should be a capitalistic conflict.
Mm-hmm. No, but there'll be influence. Imagine if one guy from another nationality kills, or just, I don't know. I guess at first it'll be kind of like the Wild West.
Yeah. It'll and I think all these treaties and agreements on who owns what in space are going to go flying out the window when people realize, oh, I could just lay claim to all this stuff. You know, I don't see why anybody would ever be beholden to that.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was a company like, you know, space or something, I wouldn't give a fuck. I mean, I would just build as much shit as I could on the moon if I, you know, if that was one of the... Well, I say that because the moon is one of those places where they think that you can get a lot of water from the caps on the moon, and that's very valuable. Mm-hmm. And you can actually build colonies then because you can have sustainable ways for people to actually have water and fuel and a fuel source for their rockets. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it just seems like, yeah, someone's going to start claiming like celestial bodies, asteroids, moon, maybe even sections of interstellar space as their own.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I can't. I hope it happens within our lifetime.
I hope so too. I mean, because imagining it now, if you and I, we're not going to live to the turn of the century, maybe unless science advances to a level where, you know.
Yeah, never say never.
Never say never.
Bieber.
But Bieber. Yeah, Justin Bieber, never say never. you know, because if you and I had kids now, like we had a baby next year or this year.
Mm-hmm. Us together.
Their lifetime. Yeah, exactly. Their lifetime. And we adopted a baby this year, Nagin baby.
Yeah, Nagin baby. Yeah.
We just adopted Nagin baby this year.
The greatest podcaster ever born.
Yeah, exactly. And they turned one into... Their lifetime expectancy would be 80 years or so, considering like the life expectancy now.
Is it at only 80?
At least 80 years.
Okay, at least.
They would live to the year 3000.
Right, right.
Yeah, which is...
fucking insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Sounds like a joke number.
It does. You know, the Jonas Brothers, I think they had a song called The Year 3000 or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Actually, I don't know if they lived at 3001. That's bad math because...
80, bro. Oh, my bad. I'm stupid. I was thinking...
we're both dumb because I didn't catch that in time. It's that pizza.
Yeah, the pizza we ate. I actually am blame slightly on the pizza. Hungover. No, but
they would live to 2100 or
yeah.
Or more.
My bad. They would have to live. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna clip this all out. Bloopers.
Physicists can be stupid.
No. Yeah, they would live to 2100, and
there you go.
Yeah, dude, and it would be. I mean, they seem to put it on a level where this would be happening at that point, at the very least, right? Like, we're like maybe 30 years. We're like 30 years maybe away from...
I could see it, man. I can see it.
30 years from now.
Because really the biggest hurdles, it seems like, are just a cheap way to get into space. Mm-hmm. And like Elon Musk has already proven that... He's like proof of concept right now, right? Mm. And actually, the launch just happened today. I don't know if you got the chance to see it.
No.
The Crew Dragon just did the in-flight abort test today.
Oh.
And you guys, you know, you can see when we actually make the podcast now if you just reference that date.
Mm.
But yeah, so the Crew Dragon was a successful launch. And it just shows like they keep making strides towards making cheaper and cheaper ways to get into space. Although this is to get... actual crew, I think, to the moon. Don't quote me on that because I don't know if that's actually true. They might just be going in orbit, but eventually that would be one thing I think they would want to do.
Yeah,
just go on the moon. And if you go on the moon, that's more steps towards that. Mining the moon for water, if you
Amazing.
Want. So there's profit. I mean, there's obviously doing this for a reason. It's profitable at some level, or else they wouldn't be doing it, right?
There's so many pros to doing this too.
There are. I feel like it makes us really like legit getting close to Star Wars level.
Yeah, and it makes us. It makes us an interstellar. It would make us an intergalactic and push us to be intergalactic.
I don't know
right?
if you can call us intergalactic because I think intergalactic means between
galaxies. No, my bad.
So interstellar for sure though.
What's the word?
Between stars, maybe not
interplanetary.
There we go. Interplanetary.
Brain farts all day today.
Yeah.
Interplanetary, yeah.
Because even Stellar is, I think, unreasonable.
Maybe, I think.
Because I think those are light years away.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, it would push us to be, you know, in that category of what Miki Okaku would call like a tier, still in the tier one? Would it be tier?
Tiers. We're still tier zero.
Tier zero.
Because the thing is, tier zero, I think the specifics is you need to master the, you need to master Earth's weather environment.
Oh.
And we don't have full control over weather.
But that would come, I think. Oh.
I'm not convinced it would.
But manipulating climate would have to be necessary if you want to live in another planet. But I think like we don't have, for one, I think it's kind of silly for him to put that as a zero on the climate.
Well, also, I don't know if he made that scale.
Oh, okay.
I think somebody else did.
Whoever made the scale, I think it's kind of silly because messing with the climate has serious implications. You can't, I mean, we do it inadvertently.
Well,
and
I think the reason
causes chaos.
I think the reasoning behind that is because they're saying that to be truly interplanetary, you need to be able to terraform.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I'm saying that it would make more sense to when you have a financial incentive for terraforming.
Yeah.
Because right now companies don't have an incentive to terraform right now, I believe.
No.
No, not necessarily.
No.
Climate change is something that to most industries it just means like, oh, well, it's too big of an impact. It's too big of a system for us to even like do anything about it.
Yeah.
You'd have to have big players like China along and everybody would have to be on the same page. Mm-hmm. But like, nonetheless, but if a company or a corporation was say to buy a planet or something or to mm-hmm. own a planet, believe it or not.
Okay. That'd fucking suck.
That would suck. But you know, planet
Amazon,
planet McDonald's,
Jesus Christ,
or actual Disney World.
Yeah. Jeez, yeah. That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Disney Planet.
That'd be sick.
Oh, that'd be fucking cool. But yeah, then they would have an interest to terraform. I think they would have more of an interest than being on planet Earth. It wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, but I think the scale that we're talking about here that Miki Okaku kind of popularized doesn't have to necessarily be because of commercialization. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just an arbitrated scale to say, okay, this is what you need. This is just a classification to say, say what levels might be a significant step into human progress to where we can actually consider them type zero, type one, type two, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it kind of makes sense, right? Because then it means now you have the ability to reshape planets the way you want them to.
Yeah.
Like if we go to space, but we're just getting minerals and resources, that's a big leap, but maybe it's not, it still doesn't mean we can actually live on another planet comfortably. Right. We would still be in kind of a more artificialized environment.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that I think we're more driven to terraform because we're interplanetary now, like financially.
Maybe so.
Yeah, as opposed to just living on Earth and.
But
being
what
like,
were
Let's
you
terraform.
Arguing? I maybe lost it.
Just that.
Like, okay.
The driver. There's no innate drive in us if you're a Type Zero civilization to terraform your own planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
It would make sense to terraform a planet that nobody lives on.
Yeah, yeah. Because then it's a nice experiment, too.
Exactly.
You don't have any big costs if you fuck up.
Exactly,
so,
exactly.
Makes sense.
So, but that's why I was like, I don't know if I would count that as type zero. I'd maybe put that in type one.
Maybe it is type one. I can't remember what.
Or type 0.5 or something.
Maybe it is. I can't remember, honestly,
it
what the steps
matter.
Were. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But the point is, folks, we're going to have Star Wars. We're going to have wars over resources, probably.
I'm sure
More
we will.
More than likely, we will.
I'm sure we will. It's because one, space is a new frontier and people start seeing, oh, you're taking my asteroids and stuff. But the thing is, maybe initially, maybe not so bad because there might be enough to go around, right? Because there's just so much, I don't know, because I'm trying to think back to history, but, you know, back in the days, I do remember when they carved up Africa and all these territories. I guess they kind of did distribute it among a bunch of different nations, and they were kind of cool with it because they're like, okay, you guys, France gets this, Britain gets this, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But only when you start to run out of space is when people start to get a little bit more hostile.
Or like the fact that, you know, if you look at America for people in the U.S., the U.S., was England owned a very small portion of it.
Yeah.
And so
The East Coast.
The East Coast mainly, but the Spanish owned a lot of it.
Yeah, that whole West.
The whole West. Yeah. Pretty much the whole West. Like French, France owned maybe North, some of North America.
I think so.
Part of Louisiana or something-ish. I don't remember how it divvied up.
Was that the Louisiana Purchase?
Yeah, well, yeah. Thomas Jefferson did a purchase.
I'm really bad at history, just to throw that out
there. No, but basically the way it laid out was there were a lot of... You either had to fight in the territories for the territories or purchase them in some way. Although most of the course of action was like, for instance, like Texas was kind of one of these territories that wanted to be independent.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of nationalities, like Germans and English people and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And some people from Mexico that wanted independence from Spain and stuff. And yeah, so there was a lot of... There was a lot of that too, but I imagine it's going to be like this in space colonies. I mean, human nature is not going to change.
No, no.
A lot of these things are going to repeat.
But we might be slightly more sophisticated where we won't like be killing each other. We might just be making like legislation and, you know.
Like becoming, I mean, you're going to have a situation
or
where...
cyber warfare or something. I don't know.
See, Earth is going to be like England in some way, and then there's going to be a new planet where new governments are going to
form. Dude, I can't wait. I would so leave in an instant. Because I'd always seen, this is one thing, I don't know if I've discussed it on the podcast before, but a pattern I've noticed is like when a nation gets really shitty, all the cool people leave and then make it good again, make a good, new, better place.
Right, right.
And it's like a cycle just repeats. Yeah. But the thing is, when you're out of space, like we are on Earth, you can't run off and make another cool, improved nation.
No, you can't.
So the only frontier we have now left is to go to another planet.
Exactly.
And if we go to another planet, then all the cool people can fuck off over there. Exactly. And then you make a badass new planet.
Like if you're early, this is something me and Terrence talked about a lot. If you were an early listener.
We probably talked
about it once or twice, but we this is our dream.
Yeah.
In a sense, starting a planet. And then
I'd be so on board.
Experimental forms of government and shit. That'd be cool.
Right.
but yeah, anyway, this, I kind of want to seg. Well, I don't know if you want to, so can you tell me more about the Goldschmidt classification? What is that?
That was kind of just something I included there, just for good measure. You'd have to even remind me what it was saying, cause I don't remember now.
It was developed by Victor Goldschmidt as a geochemical classification with groups of chemical elements within the Earth, according to preferred host phases. Into like different kinds of like, I guess, what would you call it?
Dude, I don't even know why I included that. I don't know what any of that means.
Okay, just forget we brought that up, folks.
I don't remember why I even
put
that in there.
You made a note about this other foundation, the B612 Foundation.
Oh, B612. So that was just the foundation that catalogs asteroids.
Mm-hmm.
So it was interesting because, you know, I always thought about like, why don't we have a organization that keeps track of like when asteroids are coming for us and comets and all this stuff. But we actually do. It's called the B612.
Mm-hmm.
They're a non-governmental private organization that actually catalogs asteroids and, you know, their trajectories, their sizes, their diameters and whatnot. Mm. And then they actually see if it's going to be a threat to us. And they partner with the UN. I have the UN organization, I think, on there probably as well. I forget what it's called.
International Asteroid Warning Network.
There we go. Yeah. So they'll tell the UN if there's any kind of threats coming up. Although I don't really rely on them too much because we've missed several asteroids that have come real close. So yeah. I think they're still working their kinks out. But the thing is, we can use their system to be able to catalog which asteroids are actually plentiful in resources too, which is the reason why I brought them into that mix there. So there's like, I think there's a list, there might even be the list on there. There's like five or six asteroids. Maybe it's on the main asteroids page that I was telling you about earlier, Juan, but there's like five or six really targeted asteroids that are like worth, you know, several billion dollars that are on the map first to be mined. It might be on that main asteroid page.
Are these the ones that are, they're orbiting the Earth in some way or what?
I don't know. It's like, it's like a table. You'll see of like seven or eight asteroids. It's further down.
Interesting.
There it is. Maybe.
No,
no.
Oh, potential targets. There's a Ryugu.
Yeah. Ryugu is one of the Ryugu. Big ones, I think. Right.
Ryugu. Apparently here's a list, folks. Maybe we'll put it up for the visual listeners, but for the audio listeners, Well, I'll name the ones that are valued the most.
Yeah. There's one that has got crazy value.
Yeah, there's Anteros, mm-hmm. which is $5,570 billion worth.
What's the chemicals that be extracted, or the elements that be extracted?
It includes magnesium silicate, aluminum, and iron silicate.
Yes.
And yeah. And so a runner-up to that one, another potential target is 2001 CC21, and its estimated value is $147 billion. And it also has many, it's the same composition as the one before. I don't know why. I guess aluminum is hard to come by. I know for a fact that one is.
The magnesium silicate was also special on that list.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know.
What you would use it for?
Yeah. And
industrially, we're not sure. But if you do know, leave us a comment for us to, I guess.
Aluminum's cheap as fuck on Earth.
No, but I know that there's going to be a scarcity issue with aluminum.
Really?
I think.
Because why is it so damn cheap then?
No, I think the way it's being used, and not most people don't recycle aluminum.
Really?
I think this is like forward-looking kind of problem. Mm. I think. Okay. Somebody made a comment on this one time. I don't know if it was true or not, but in any case, look it up, I guess. So that's the second one, and the third one, I guess, would be 1992 TC, and this says nickel, iron, and cobalt. And then a runner-up to that is the Ryugu one that I mentioned, but they have, that one's composition is a lot.
What's their price values?
83. So 1992 TC is $84 billion, and then Ryugu is $83. So they're
pretty close
in value. Yeah.
So those are the main targets, I guess.
Yeah. And most of them contain iron. I mean, there's one. These have nickel, iron, cobalt, water, nitrogen, hydrogen, and ammonia. Hydrogen being the one that's probably really valuable, right?
Yeah. I mean, the water is a game changer. That's probably the mission number one, it seems, for most of these organizations. They want to just mine water.
Yeah.
Because the fuel you can make with that is going to save a lot on the rocket costs. Mm-hmm. Because I was looking into this, and most rockets, they use RP-1 fuel, which is like a kerosene mixed with liquid oxygen, I believe. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember if it's liquid oxygen or nitrogen. I think it's oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can extract oxygen from H2O, I mean, now you have a way to refuel in space without having to bring it all the way up with another rocket from space. So that significantly reduces the cost. I think the Falcon 9, the last thing I looked up was the Falcon 9 uses about $400,000 worth of fuel for one flight. So if you
That's
can save,
bad.
It's not bad, but you can save some good money on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
very true.
Especially refueling like the ISS and also like satellites in orbit. You can get satellites to last longer, too, because satellites actually need a propulsion. I think it's a special kind of propulsion. I don't remember what it is to keep themselves in orbit around Earth. And if you can refuel in space, then I mean, that's a game changer.
And I imagine like space, the industry will create new industries more about recycling, because think about it. We have to recycle so many things because, like, I think we're going to realize that in space, you know, we're obviously in a vacuum, but we're more isolated. There were things we can't necessarily go reach things, and I think technologies of like recycling water and stuff like that are going to be more important, right?
You
like
mean
becoming an interplanetary or anything?
Well, no, but these asteroids you should be able to use water in an asteroid, like.
No, you should, but I'm saying, but you understand that this is scarce.
Water won't be scarce. That's what I'm saying. If you're mining asteroids, water is not going to be scarce at all.
No, I think it will be, but I'm saying
it won't.
But I'm saying you will necessarily, it's still going to be scarce.
But like, I mean, imagine this one, if you have an asteroid and you're only looking at the local region of the universe, do you realize how much more of the universe there is to have to look like? Water is not going to be a scarce resource. That's the whole point of
this. But I'm saying you have an incentive, or especially early on, to recycle that kind of stuff, right? You don't think so?
Because if you can just keep mining it ad infinitum, then there is no incentive to recycle.
I think
there's
more of an incentive to recycle than there is to just like mine and stuff.
It could be maybe out of sheer ease of just use, because maybe you want to just have a system that recycles water, because we already do that on Earth, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, we might as well.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you won't really need to. If it's that cheap to mine it, it's like it gives you the option now to say you don't need to.
Well, if I was going to build a society, I would want to recycle as much as I could.
But like, think about it like this way. Like, imagine where we're in the lab, we recycle liquid helium, right? Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't, we never did that when it was abundant. Nobody gave a fuck when helium was abundant.
No one knew. No one knew that this would be really...
Yeah, they did.
Well, no one
We knew the reserves and what was what could happen. That's why we reserve it now. The thing is, when you think something's abundant, you don't care to recycle.
Yeah,
usually.
But we have enough foresight to say it is. It is a
now
scarce.
We do, yes. But the thing is, water is not going to be scarce with this situation. That's what I'm saying. You're not going to need to recycle.
It will be scarce if you have that attitude, dude. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Just
leave the water running. Just leave the water running, okay? Just like when you're brushing your teeth, don't turn off the water. Yeah, just let it run. No, I'm saying it makes more sense for them to recycle, but I get what you're saying. You're saying
it might, like, let's say if you have a space colony right on the moon, maybe you'll recycle water because it's smarter, right?
Yeah,
because you don't want to like, have to keep mining it. Because maybe it's just like, why would you want to do that if we can just sustain ourselves how we do on Earth?
That's exactly what I mean. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you don't. I'm saying you don't actually have to because if you want to mine it.
You can.
I mean, yeah, it's not like it's a finite resource. That's what I mean. The distinction here just being it's not a finite resource at that point.
I see. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, effectively not finite.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. So, okay. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that they already kind of had this category of I mean, they also have a column where it says estimated profit. And it's typically a fraction of whatever estimated value is.
Oh, I see.
I think because they do a cost-benefit analysis, how much money it's going to cost to go there.
It also depends on what the infrastructure you're going to use to actually mine is. We were saying, if you bring the comet back to Earth, then your value drops significantly.
Yeah.
Whereas if you leave it in space, you kind of retain more of the value. Yeah.
But I imagine this value, this number, this column is going to change in the future.
Yeah, it could.
With development of new technologies and stuff. So I'd rather not bother you telling you that.
Yeah. We were not even close to really getting the value numbers flushed out, really.
Yeah. I mean, but as far as economic worth, that would probably stay about the same, more than likely, if not higher.
Right.
As things get more and more scarce, I guess. And then you said that you mentioned here in the notes, there's a near-Earth object surveillance satellite that we set up.
Oh, I don't know why I have that on
there.
Well,
like, I know Trump just started this Space Force thing.
Yeah,
right?
People were memeing on it because they had the camouflage suits.
Yeah, can we have space camo, please? Just like, what is it called? The darkest material in the world?
The Vanta.
Vanta black.
Or I guess it's Singularity Black now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Singularity Black. That's camo in space.
Yeah, that's sick, man. Oh, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks so cool.
Pictures of it? Yeah.
But of course, I don't think you can really get the same impression from it unless you see it in real life.
Right.
Which I haven't seen.
It must look
crazy.
It must look like a... Yeah, like a
like
singularity.
A hole in space time.
Yeah, because there's no edges. It doesn't look like it looks two dimensional.
Well, there's edges, but it's just like
I imagine it looks two dimensional.
You can't see any features of anything.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like it looks like a hole in space. Yeah. Probably. That's cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
I saw a video of some girl. She had a black dress that was singularity black. I was like, that's pretty cool.
That's cool. But yeah, the I guess yeah. So. Do you know what this is a response to, I guess, what Trump is doing?
Dude, I don't know what Trump's ever doing.
All right.
Anything that he does is a mystery to me, so I don't know.
All right, we don't have to talk about it then because it's kind of...
Not trying to get too political, but his brain just doesn't make sense to me, so I don't know.
I also don't know what he was thinking with that, but okay. Let's. You also brought up the United Nations Committee on the Peaceful Uses of outer Space. And how they have a near-Earth object deflection and disaster response. Do you want to talk about that?
Say it again.
Just about the UN having a committee on like peaceful uses of outer space, like having a sort of agreement on how to use outer space or whatever.
I mean, I told you pretty much the extent of what I know. It's just a way to keep it so nations kind of have a neutral ground, but.
Yeah, so
I don't see anything really. I don't see that. I don't see that treaty really being meaningful, though, in the future.
No, I mean the UN has no real like you have political power.
Yeah.
But
and the thing is, like, whoever gets to space and is able to actually like put their feet and plant it on you know moon rock,
yeah,
they have the final say, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, doesn't really mean much.
So, but they do have a list of recommendations, though. Yeah. The UN. So they say. having each country's government create a defined asteroid disaster response plan, the case like
now that's
for
useful. But this isn't really to asteroid mining. This is about like how the response is going to be for an asteroid.
Oh, right.
Hits us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's useful.
But then, nonetheless, they still have recommendations in place. I mean, because like think about it, if there was a rogue, if you leave space and you're able to manipulate asteroids in a way,
mm-hmm.
you have now a lot of power. You get Earth is very vulnerable.
Yeah.
In that state, right?
Okay. But what are you saying? Like you could redirect it at another nation.
Or something.
Yeah,
right?
You could.
You could. It leaves
that'd be,
countries
that'd probably
vulnerable.
Be more. That could be potentially more disastrous than any nuke would ever be. Because you can literally level an entire country.
Yeah, or entire like continent if you
yeah.
want to.
Yeah, it's so true. But like, damn.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I know.
That's brutal.
But this is why, you know what? Maybe this is what Trump, maybe he is playing four-dimensional chess.
Yeah, sure. Four-dimensional something.
Right. He's just like, no, but that is an important step, I think, actually, having a defense system for all nations, I think.
I think so, too. I think definitely, we're going to need some kind of space defense.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't know. I think it's good to work those details out.
Yeah,
because I think it's going to be necessary soon.
Yeah, because pretty soon we're going to have to start building super soldiers to fight aliens.
Yeah,
and then start basically living on like halos and stuff. You know. That's like a guitar.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's gonna be awesome. But yeah, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that future, and I'm ready for, you know, Reagan actually he had a policy I think he started called Star Wars.
I remember that back in the day. I thought it was like a defense weapon, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And people didn't want him to build it though, so he scrapped it or something because it was maybe making
I would probably cost
tensions or something. I don't remember.
But that too. I mean, it puts you, because it put America in a position where it's like, okay, now, what, you're going to shoot lasers at countries or something?
Right.
It would have to be, this is where nations would have to come together and agree on, it would take an insane amount of, because it's concentrated power. I mean, either everybody has a word or a seat mm-hmm. at the table to make sure that we're all in an agreement and we all have checks and balances in place.
But here's the thing, like, how do you stop someone from making advanced technology? You really can't unless
you
threaten
can't.
Them, I guess.
You can't, but that's what I'm saying. We would need to be smart about putting checks and balances in place.
But I believe Star Wars was, please don't quote me on any of this because I didn't research this at all, but I think, I don't even remember where I heard it from, so I can't even give a source or anything, but I think what it was intended to do was as a defense against nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if we did build some kind of Star Wars like system and then it's up and running, like no one can say shit to us mm-hmm. then. And then who cares about what people are saying at a table? Cause it's like, we have it and we can deflect your nukes now. So who cares what you're saying? So that's always the problem with like really sufficiently advanced technology like that. It's like, unless you have a way to threaten someone to where they would have to listen to you,
mm-hmm.
it's like they don't really have to ever listen to you.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what the UN or anybody says.
I think the politics might slow us down. This is one of those things where it might slow down the development because we might not reach an agreement of how to navigate this politically.
My prediction, I don't think it will, but I mm-hmm. think the only thing that will slow us down is money,
mm-hmm.
our ability to make it profitable. So I don't think politics is really going to have anything to play. If our companies think it's profitable to be in space and to do mining asteroids, they're going to do it. I don't see why they would ever be stopped politically.
I mean, some people might, you know, but there are regulations in place and stuff to kind of.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like who cares about the regulation if you can just do it? Who's going to stop you from doing it?
people with guns, bro.
No, but if they have guns too, then it doesn't really matter.
I know.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't really matter what anybody says as long as you. Of course, like I'm not saying like Elon Musk or anybody has guns, but right. if America has interest and the government and the military want to go into space and do this stuff, then who's going to stop us?
Right. No. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It's just going to be interesting. And now that we're moving into Star War territory.
Okay. Let the fun begin.
Let's talk about
saw a podcast with Eric Griffin and Bobby Lee's brother, Steve Lee, talking about Star Wars, and they were thrown down pretty hard. So
really?
Yeah. They were in some big disagreement.
So what we're going to talk about now might be a serious point of contention between Terrence and I about the new Star Wars movie.
All right.
What is it called again? Rise of the Skywalker? Rise of Skywalker.
I thought that was that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the first one was Force Awakens, and then the second one was The Last Jedi.
And then you know better than me.
And then this third one is Rise of the Skywalker.
I've been asleep through half of these Star Wars, so I don't even know.
That's probably why you didn't like it, man. Come on.
I'm just joking. I watched the whole thing, but I was really like, man, I should just sit back and go to sleep because this is fucking bullshit.
Really? Okay, do you remember the movie? This is spoiler.
Yeah, I remember a lot. I remember a lot of it. Yeah, if you haven't seen it by now, then you know you don't want to watch this section because we're gonna start talking about
the
movie.
Okay, I'm gonna do a quick recap of the movie off the top of the dome.
Sure.
So the movie is coming off of the Last Jedi, where Luke actually sacrifices himself in some way to become a Force ghost, and not necessarily to defeat Kylo Ren.
Yep.
Why are you laughing at this? I'm
just imagining Luke as the Force ghost is already a little bit goofy to me, but that's okay.
To not necessarily defeat, but to kind of fight back the Kylo Ren's forces and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this forces the rebels to. This gives the rebels a chance to pull back and retreat back to this planet where they're hiding out, and this is kind of like their last stronghold, and a lot of people are giving up because the Empire, I guess this new Empire or whatever, right? I don't know what they call themselves. I forget.
Palpatine's old buddies. I don't know.
Okay. You're getting ahead of it a little bit.
Okay, I don't know.
Palpatine and friends.
I don't know what they're. I honestly couldn't follow a lot of it.
Right. So they all recoup back to this home base, and like I said, a lot of people are giving up because the Empire seems insurmountable, and they're squashing any sort of rebellion or anything.
Yeah.
So, and if you saw The Last Jedi, they lose one of the big fighters, I think, right? This is where that famous slip space scene where this captain, like, she uses her ship to cut.
Yeah.
It seemed like
it didn't matter, though. But anyway.
I mean, she made a sacrifice that didn't matter, yeah. I mean, it kind of didn't, but... because I mean, at the end of it, you really see how big the Empire's forces are,
and the Rebel forces are apparently.
Right, right. But anyway. So we have we open up with a movie scene where I'm not trying to recap scene by scene, by the way, but I'm just trying to give you a sense of where the movie is kind of starting, and then Rey actually she's doing her training with a lightsaber and stuff, and then she's trying to get a sense of the Force and stuff while the supporting cast, I guess Finn and Poe and everybody else, are trying to I guess fight people off or something.
I forget what they were even doing.
So they're all doing that, and then basically they were like, okay, we need Rey, and then Rey meets up with them once she finds out that she needs to, how would you say, she needs to come in contact with the Sith object or something. It's like a Sith artifact or something.
Yeah, yeah. Some relic.
Yeah, some relic of the Sith. And so they need to, basically it turns into a treasure hunt and obstacle course moving from.
Star Wars National Treasure.
Yeah. So moving from location to location, trying to get all the pieces together and then finding. And it, basically, the movie hints that Palpatine is still alive.
Yeah.
And that he's the one, or he's
well, it doesn't really hint. It shows it. I mean, it's very blatant.
He's the one orchestrating this new empire, and he's the one motivating or pulling all the strings.
Yeah.
And so,
very nice synopsis there. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the end of the movie. I think that's the whole movie, pretty much. Like,
if of course, minus like what happened at the end. And
I'm
stuff.
Not giving details. Yeah, I mean, we'll get.
You
to
gave
it.
A nice little exposition of what's going on with the plot.
Yeah, of course.
It
at the end of the movie,
it from there, or you know, unfolds from there. I'll say.
Yeah,
although it does unravel, but I'll say unfolds to be generous.
Okay, so you're saying it unravels. Why?
I just had a lot of gripes with the movie, man. I mean, just
like
there were so many
or
points.
Storytelling. What do you mean?
Everything. I thought it was just. It felt like a giant Band-Aid on a shitty series. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, Abrams was trying to fix a lot of the shit from the second one, which I think a lot of people agree with. The second one was probably just as bad. But the third one just wasn't good either. It seemed like they just ran out of ideas to me.
Really?
Yeah, because like the whole thing was, okay, so Palpatine is making a fleet with Star Destroyers that have planet-killing capabilities. And he has like 300 of these ships.
An insane amount of ships.
Yeah, an insane amount of ships. And to me, that already is like, okay, so.
He's been building this up for years.
Yeah, how has he been building this up and no one's heard about this? No one's been aware of this. The rebels didn't know shit about it. Why is Palpatine alive again? That's another question I had. Why is this guy back again?
Yeah.
It just felt so lazy to me. It just felt like such a lazy script of just like, well, we have no more ideas, so let's just say a Death Star on every ship. You know, it's just like people were just throwing things in a hat and then whatever got drawn, they just went with it.
I think they did a better job than I expected. That's kind of the problem. I went in with very little expectations.
Okay.
And so
I always have a little bit higher bar for Star Wars because I'm like, yeah, they can maybe be good for a normal movie, but like if you got the Star Wars name, you got to deliver something more.
I kind of was of the opinion that I did not see the Rey Palpatine storyline following, like, but spoiler alert, obviously. Like,
Rey is Palpatine's granddaughter or something.
And
that was such a dumb thing.
Did not
thing
see that
to
coming.
Me.
It was cool. I liked it.
You liked that?
I liked it.
It felt so ham-fisted. It's like, why is she Palpatine?
But why would she be anybody else?
But the thing is, like, why did she have to be anything related to Palpatine or anything? It just felt like another one of these things where they're like, okay, Luke is Vader's father. Mm-hmm. Kylo is Han's son and Leia's son. So we need to still keep a family thing going on. So let's say Rey is Palpatine's daughter.
But they
wanted to make a surprising effect, but it just feels like a lazy trope at this point.
I don't know. I think it puts a nice bow at the end of this whole saga because this is a Skywalker Palpatine saga, really. Like, you know what I mean? I think they wanted to have a duality of sorts where it's like the Skywalkers versus the Palpatines.
I guess you could say that, but just there was no indicator for me to see why she needs to be Palpatine.
That's the issue, right?
Yeah, and then that seems just lazy to me. It's like, why does she need to be Palpatine? There was no indication that she needed to be Palpatine. Yeah. There was just no point for it besides that bow that is like an artificial bow.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good thematic bow to have, but the thing is, I think the execution is poor. The
execution was so poor. So it's like, if the execution's poor, you might as well not do it. That's my feeling.
Okay.
It's like, you need, if you're going to set something up, it needs to be done in an intelligent way.
But that's more of a problem with the way Disney set up the movie, the trilogies.
That's what I'm thinking too. So I can't really blame J.J. Abrams fully, but I can just blame it as a... I just look at the collective series and blame it as it was just a fucked up series because they should not have treated Star Wars that way. Like, if you're going to do Star Wars, a movie that has such a level of hype and such a level of
storytelling,
like, you need to go in with the right plan.
Yeah.
And if you just are going to soil that name and just do that, then I can't really fuck with the movie. Like, I don't know what else I could say about it.
It seems
I'm not going to be generous about it.
I see.
Because it has a higher bar.
Right. I can agree with you that they did treat this saga or this trilogy as a, how would you say, piecewise.
Cash cow?
That, and, but piece-wise, too. So meaning that the first movie, it seemed like them putting new directors on without any cohesive vision about where the story was going to go didn't make sense, especially for a trilogy.
Right. It's like, if you're going to write a trilogy, write the fucking trilogy before you make the movies, goddammit.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just write one movie and then see, okay, this guy can write the other part.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Not really.
I hate when people do that. It's like... And to not have that kind of foresight, or just not that caring at all, like, to me, it's just like, compare it
to the saga that is the Infinity Saga with Marvel's, who was also owned by Disney.
And that was very well done, actually.
Yeah, no, they tied in a 10 years worth of narrative.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. See, when you have a cohesive storyline, then it's a lot better. Like, I don't even like Marvel movies, but I had respect for how they did that, because at least everything was like, oh, you saw all these movies where they were getting... The Infinity Stones were all tied to this movie, and it all culminated in this very
the climax of
Thanos. It's a climax of the whole series. So it's like, that's what you call a satisfying movie and a satisfying series.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do trilogies and elegies, I don't even know how many there were. So you gotta take into effect that all of those movies have a connection. So. Mm-hmm. The goodness of the movie also relies on the ones that came before it.
Right.
Which Star Wars, then I have to still take into account the previous two, because it is a trilogy. So in order for this trilogy to be good, the other two have to be in line with it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can probably see the movie, like, as standalone movies, they don't make much sense. But if you were to complete them in a box set, like a saga.
Yeah.
I guess they would kind of make sense, right?
Yeah. Even then, it's very loosely,
but it's still kind of disjointed. I see what you're saying, because the more, like, the second movie, especially the Last Jedi, is probably the one that throws a wrench in the whole thing.
Because the first one was like very promising. I was like, okay, we might be able to do something here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the first movie, I felt like there was a lot of good that happened, where I was like, man, this can go a lot of interesting ways, and these characters are very interesting to me. Like, I liked Finn a lot. Mm. I even liked Rey, too, in the beginning. I thought Kylo was really cool. I thought he was probably the best done out of all of them in the series. I was like, they have a lot to work with.
Yeah.
But it just didn't end up that way, because it just was, it changed hands, and that was enough to kill it.
That's sad, because I actually appreciate what Rian Johnson, the director of the second movie, was trying to do, which was, he was trying to break the cycle, in a sense, of this whole Skywalker Palpatine thing.
In what way?
Because you remember how, like, Kylo Ren was saying to her, like, we can bring like order or something to this, and like, or a new order or something like that. Or he was saying we can restore balance or something.
Okay. by bringing Rey to the dark side.
Well, that's, I guess, intuitively, I think that's what that movie takes a lot more dissecting, because I think the way Rian Johnson wrote it, he made it seem like, especially killing, what's that villain
Snoke,
and making him look lesser. Yeah, I appreciate that, though. I appreciate that, because it said that you don't need, well, especially what Kylo was saying to Rey, was saying that you don't need to be special to wield the Force.
That was so dumb.
You didn't like that?
No.
I like that.
I really hate Rey, too, because of her. I really don't like Rey, Rey's ability, or her overpoweredness.
But her being a Palpatine explains that, though.
It's such a weak explanation to me, though, because it's like, you could say Anakin then should have been overpowered from birth, but he wasn't. Anakin had to go through training and actually be refined with a teacher and instructor, Obi-Wan.
No, you mean Luke.
And Qui-Gon. I'm talking about Anakin.
Oh, Anakin. Because
he was supposed to be the most powerful one in the Force.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So if he could just naturally do everything.
But
it's
his,
like,
midichlorians were so high.
Yeah, exactly. But if you could just naturally do anything, what's the point of even having an instructor? Mm-hmm. Rey had literally no one teaching her to do anything. And this is actually, if you want to watch a good podcast with about talking about this, Eric Griffin and Steve Ligon in this whole debate too about this, where their huge point of contention was with saying that Rey should have had Rey was okay being as powerful as she was.
Yeah.
And then Steve was saying that no, she shouldn't have. And I agree with Steve because it's like Rey just all of a sudden was able to do everything with no work.
But the way the narrative unfolds this plot is because there's a, what would you call it? Kylo and Rey are both like, how would you say? They have parity in a way.
Yeah.
Like they're what is it called? A
duality?
There's a duality. Mm-hmm. There's another word for it. But they have a duality of sorts where if one of them is stronger, then it needs to restore balance. Mm-hmm. And so the other one naturally is also kind of as strong in a way.
It was weak to me, though. And like, it's like...
narratively speaking, I see what they were trying to go for, and I appreciate it. But I'm more sad about the execution. I'm more disappointed in the execution as opposed to the narrative.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I see what you're saying. But... I had problems with both, though. It's just both because it's just bad. It, like, if you're gonna be, at least if you have good narrative, it should still stand up just with the writing alone, right? And I thought even the writing was still pretty weak. It's just like you could have done it so much better.
They could have done Finn better, I think.
Finn had so much room for potential. Man, this is like, he could have been such an interesting character, but it was like they didn't know what to do with him. It seemed like
The Skywalker and Palpatine saga, I guess, is interesting, but going back to like the first original trilogy from the 70s, I guess, I guess episode, 4 through 6? Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. They hinted that Han Solo was force sensitive.
Did they really?
Yeah, because Obi-Wan says there's no such thing as luck. Like, in a sense, in that world where he's like, there's no such thing as luck. And Han is very lucky in a lot of ways. He's very lucky. And so,
okay.
The movie.
That's a stretch, but I'll
give it to Spielberg because
okay.
he made it in a way where you can infer that Han is force sensitive in that way.
But Han didn't even need to be force sensitive because Leia was already hinted as being force sensitive, blatantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Hers is more because she's a Skywalker. So yeah. It makes more sense.
So you're saying like, what's the point?
So
though?
The connection here is that Han is force sensitive in the universe, meaning that if he was to develop it, he could become like a Jedi if he had wanted to.
Okay.
But the same with Finn. Finn was force sensitive.
Mm.
At least it hinted at them in the movie.
Did it?
Yeah, this, especially this one.
I don't remember it hinting Finn.
It was badly done, but I'll just say this.
Okay.
That they, because he was like, Rey, I feel, remember, I think in this last one, he was like saying, I feel whenever you're in trouble or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he has that, he feels that. He feels the force and stuff inside of her, and he can, you know.
Okay.
He can react to it. So it already tells you that he's force.
I thought he was going
to
be feeling a lot more inside of her. Just
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, me too.
But then they were like, nah, we can't have this black dude and this white girl. Let's do him
kissing
with the Asian
in the movie?
Girl.
Nah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, we don't like this Asian girl. Let's just fuck up the whole romantic interest.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's really funny because, how would you say, there was a meme that said Kylo Ren, like the girl that, like Kylo Ren got friend. I mean,
Finn.
Finn got friend zoned because like Kylo Ren was like a fucking serial killer and stuff, and then Rey Rey fell for the bad boy. So bad,
that was such a weird one too. I was like, why are Rey and Kylo Ren relationship seems so forced to me?
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, I was like, come on.
I didn't like them kissing.
No, it
was
weird.
Stupid.
Yeah,
because it felt more like a sibling thing.
Yeah, it's like they have more of a sibling connection than a romantic connection.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's very strange.
It was super strange. I didn't like that from the movie. But yeah, I think it would have been cool if they made Finn more of a like training to be a Jedi in a way, like taking advantage of the fact that he was force sensitive.
Yeah, and that's where I thought they were going to go in the first movie.
Yeah,
because he even picked up a lightsaber, and I was he's going to start. He's going to start doing some force stuff. Maybe
See, that's exactly what I wanted to see. An ex stormtrooper.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool, right? The lowest guy on the rung becoming
a Jedi.
You know, a Jedi, the highest tier.
Yeah. That would be insane.
Yeah.
But they didn't do anything with it.
No. That's why I don't like any of these movies.
what did you like about this saga, I guess? Like little things that you did. I kind of like
Kylo.
Right.
I thought he was
as a villain.
Kylo's like one of my favorite characters in the series, I think.
Yeah.
Just because I thought he was just very realistically done, and he wasn't like cliche. He wasn't a cliche role, like, cause he was flawed in very realistic ways.
Mm-hmm.
I just liked how Kylo was. He wanted to be such a badass with the Force and such a guy who can embrace the dark side. He was forcing himself to go down the dark path,
yeah.
But he couldn't handle it. And I thought that was really interesting. He was very torn up by it.
Yeah.
He wasn't like in control at all of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And you could even see it, you know, reflecting his lightsaber, how it was the rough lightsaber with the jagged edges and whatnot. Edges. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I thought his character was really a cool character. And I even liked that he went to the light side at the end, because I thought that was what he was going to do the whole time.
So you don't like surprises, Terrence?
Hmm?
I was like, you don't like surprises.
I like things that make sense. I like surprises as long as they're good. But when everything's a surprise because there's no exposition, then
yeah, I see.
No, so I don't like that.
So you're saying there was an arc in place for him to come to the light side?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it was there from the beginning, is what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it should have been. Like, if you're gonna have an arc or a story, these things need to be established early on, right? Or else they're just coming out of thin air. Like, why is Leia have force powers now? I mean, you can say she ended in the old one, but maybe that's a bad example. But
they ham-fisted it in this one.
They ham-fisted the fuck out of a lot of stuff, man. And I mean, it's just so much stuff. It's hard to keep track of.
It's kind of sad because they mishandled Rey's storyline and not
very badly.
Not Kylo's. Kylo's was well executed, like you're saying.
I wouldn't say well executed, but it was the best one of all the characters,
right?
Because the movie was still beyond saving, I thought, but. At least they got to somewhat get Kylo in there with somewhat of a complete storyline.
No, but that's what I'm saying. His storyline makes
the most sense of anybody.
Yeah. Because Rey's storyline doesn't.
No. Finn's was trash.
Finn's was
good. He was just all over the place. Like,
yeah.
You don't know what he's going to do. Rose was just completely just fucked over in the last movie. She just, literally like one line, hi, yeah. And then she disappeared.
And then Poe. He's kind of also one of those.
He's just hanging around.
He's just hanging around. Yeah. He's not really he's. They also botched it with that one very powerful looking stormtrooper, Captain Phasma.
I thought she got killed.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
But they made her to be like this. I guess it wasn't just to sell toys.
But she
or something.
Got killed in the first movie,
she
didn't
did.
She? Yeah.
But people thought she was going to be more important.
Oh.
To the. But it was just a self-voice.
I could have overlooked it if the movies were actually good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Man, what, that's so sad. But yeah, at the end of it all, I liked my favorite characters, I think, are probably, what's his name? Babu Frick?
Everybody loves Babu Frick.
Babu Frick was the best part of this whole trilogy. he put a bow on it. Like, he was just, that was, he made the whole thing for
he
me.
Was the toy sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For reference, I guess Babu Frick is the guy they take, or the little creature they take, C-3PO. To go basically
get his brain surgery,
hack into C-3PO's firmware so that he can read out Sith, what is it?
Runes or something. Yeah.
Sith scripture or something. And, he makes all these, like, he talks like broken English and it's kind of very like silly and stuff.
Yeah.
It's great.
He's a sell toys to the kids.
I'm a kid. Okay. It's like, I love
he's the baby Yoda of that series.
Yeah. 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 And I actually like him more than baby Yoda. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked him. I actually liked, Poe Dameron's, this and him in this movie more the most. His character the most in this movie.
He's a little bit annoying to me. He's really? Always been annoying to me. Cause he's always so let's just go and do it. Let's fight. I'm like, bro, have at least some logical framework of thinking.
No, but I liked that we got a better look at him as a character, I guess, like who he was. But they should have done that in the second movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they randomly introduced some new chick into him. Just like, why are there more characters now that I don't give a fuck about?
You don't do that in this last movie.
You don't do that.
Damn, that sucks.
So, man, I mean.
Look, and then my point is, why do you have to have a trilogy? Why does a trilogy have to be a thing?
It could be, as long as it's done right. Okay. Know what the trilogy is supposed to be. Don't just make shit up on the fly like it's the episode of Lost.
But that's how people feel about the original 1, 2, 3 episodes. 1 through 3.
Those were actually thought out though. The story line is cohesive.
No, Jar Jar Binks should have been a Sith Lord.
Oh, the first one.
The first three. First,
oh yeah, well those are
episode
garbage
1 through 3.
Those are garbage too. So I can't.
I think
those.
This new saga is better than episode. No, actually, like episode 2 and 3.
Or so.
Like out of the original ones, I like.
No,
episode
I can't
two
get behind that.
I don't like episode 1. Episode 1 was horrible.
I didn't like 1, 2, or 3.
Really?
But this newer
one. I like
one,
Darth Maul. I like the fighting in the first
yeah,
three.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. That's not a storyline.
Okay, fine.
Because I like Kylo Ren and shit too in this one, yeah. But doesn't count. I liked the storyline the best of all the newish ones, the 1, 2, 3. I liked 7.
7 the most.
Yeah, 7 the most.
Okay.
Because that was like, oh, you actually had a twinkle in your eye to think it was actually going to go right.
Twinkle in your eye.
Yeah, it actually gave me a feeling that this might actually be good.
Let it work out.
it made me think there might actually be hope.
Nice.
But actually, hope. If I can really say the one I liked the most was Rogue One.
Oh, Rogue One was amazing.
That one was actually the best one.
Why does that one get shit
one.
On?
Does it?
It does. It gets flack, and I'm like that.
That one did so many
movie.
Right things, and it was
100%,
and it actually went above and beyond by even justifying some of the holes in the first Star Wars. And I'm like, all right, slow clap. That's how you do it.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. I liked it. I liked it because it introduced the Jedi in a realistic way.
Yeah.
Or the Force mm-hmm. in a realistic way, where some people clearly didn't believe in it,
right?
And some people did, and the people mm-hmm. who did, and it made it more like a religion. It made it seem more like a religion,
which is how the first ones were. Like nobody believed it because they don't have access to Jedis like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the people that did, like you, it kind of reestablished the world in a way mm-hmm. that made it believable. And then the fact that there was such an insane price to pay.
Yeah.
For the value of like the liberty of these of the rebels and stuff, mm-hmm. them having to make that big sacrifice and then it leading to episode 1.
Yep.
Just
so much. It was so good, man.
Yeah,
so many right
amazing.
Things.
Yeah.
I have a theory that when they do storylines that are offshoots is much better than doing storylines that are along the linear trajectory.
I think I would
when
agree
you do
with
storylines
you, yeah.
along the linear trajectory, you keep rehashing the same plot. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to make it epic as fuck, mm-hmm. but that can only be rehashed so many times mm-hmm. that you can't really come up with a new storyline.
Yeah.
And you can clearly see that with these last ones, with them just saying, okay, let's make 300 planet killing ships.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they're just trying to rehash the same storyline. Mm-hmm. You can't keep doing that. Mm-hmm. So when they do offshoots, mm-hmm. those are a lot better. Although I know Solo, I heard was not good. All I didn't see.
I watched it.
Was it good?
It was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So offshoots, good. I think I like better than main storyline stuff.
They're a lot more solid.
It gives people more freedom to actually do new shit and to make storylines that are original mm-hmm. instead of having them do the epic mainstream, fit everything in one storyline and try to make it interesting even though you've already done it 3 times.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was, all the solo movies, I guess, like, so, I mean it like the offhand movies, like Solo and
Rogue One,
they're pretty well done.
Rogue
they're
One
very
was
solid.
Cool. Yeah.
I'd recommend watching them if you're hesitant. If you were, or had hesitations about watching those, at least an 8 out of 10
okay.
for those movies. Yeah. And a lot of the new ones, I think they, like you're saying, they hold a lot of narrative weight because they have to.
Right.
They have to carry that
when you're
load.
Doing a mainstream storyline, you have to like do the twist, you have to have the love interest, you have to have the main mm-hmm. characters, you know, the comedic relief, you have to have the, you know, the main protagonist. It's like it has to be so formulaic mm-hmm. that you can only rehash that so many times. Mm-hmm. Like there's only so many things you can do.
Yeah. Well, dang.
So.
I mean, it's okay. I know they're going to try to start a new saga again at some point, probably.
I'm over it. I'm so over
Star Wars?
I'm so over it, man.
Really?
It's gotten to Marvel territory for me.
Really? Yeah. I actually enjoy Marvel movies, though.
I'm just sick of seeing all the movies that I like
the storylines.
The universes that I like being destroyed by companies. Like, I've already lost Terminator, you know, now I've lost Star Wars.
Yeah.
Probably going to lose Matrix soon here in a bit.
Why? They're making a new Matrix?
They're
movie?
Making a Matrix 4.
Oh, wow.
That could have potential, though. 4 is a number of safety right now because it's only just beginning and they didn't say they're making a trilogy.
Yeah.
So and it's also the original creators doing it.
Oh, the twins.
Yes. the Wachowski sisters now.
Yeah.
I think it might just be one though now.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
You said the other one likes to copy the other twin.
I don't know if you were the one who told me.
No,
I don't know if I did.
Oh,
but
okay, okay.
I was just saying it was weird because they were because they both transitioned. Yeah, they were the Wachowski brothers, but then one became transgender, but then the other one became transgender. I'm like, what are the odds of that?
Yeah.
So I don't
literally know. Literally 50-50 at this point.
But yeah, so maybe it will be good. Mm. If that's good, then I'll have a last franchise to hold on that I like, and then maybe I'll have some joy in my movie watching experiences.
Hmm.
Until then, I'll just use all my excitement for Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. I guess so.
That's about the only person whose movies I get excited for anymore.
Or what, Christopher Nolan? You don't feel like that?
No.
Really?
I don't think he's at the same level as Tarantino to me. Because I can always pick out flaws with Nolan movies that I was like, that's pretty good, but it's always solid as fuck, right?
Yeah, Nolan is great.
Yeah, it's solid as fuck.
Yeah.
But there's always as you can think of like the last Batman movie, let's say, right? Like with Bane.
No. With Bane, one.
That's a Nolan movie.
It is.
But think of the Tarantino log. I literally cannot name a movie that I disliked of Tarantino's.
Okay, fair enough.
With Nolan, I was like, like the Batman with Bane just getting killed by Catwoman at the end was just such a stupid way to end.
Yeah.
The second Batman, what was that one?
That's the Dark Knight Rises.
That's the Joker one.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I think there were some flaws.
That's the most critically acclaimed.
Yeah, but I didn't like the ham-fisting of a million villains in one movie with Harvey Dent being in there.
I see. Yeah,
that didn't need to be in there.
It was really long. I remember watching it in theaters.
It was unnecessarily long.
Dang, 2 hours and 30 minutes. Wow.
You didn't need Two-Face.
Yeah.
The first one was probably the best one
to me. Shut up.
You didn't like the first one?
I did not like the first
Comparatively to the other two.
The second one.
To the Joker one.
The second one was the best one, in my opinion. Despite it being so
I like the naivety of the first one because it was fresh and new and he didn't really know what he was going to do yet. So it was very I felt like his creative juices were just more. When people start things out, it's usually stronger, I feel like.
I mean, yeah, that's more.
So I liked the first one.
That's the case with bands too, but you know.
I feel like that's mostly the case with any art or creativity.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So I liked the first one. I liked that one.
Yeah.
But I did like the second one and the third one a lot. I'm just saying that there's pieces that I can pick out that I really didn't like.
I see.
Like with a Tarantino movie though, for example, there's nothing in his movies that I'm like, that really is kind of dumb.
Yeah. I want to see a Tarantino Star Wars movie.
Dude, I want to see a Tarantino sci-fi in general, just any kind of sci-fi, but I feel like it would probably be bad.
He doesn't like sci-fi, right?
He does, but I don't think he said that the only sci-fi that he can write is something that's like a Star Trek.
Oh.
Which makes sense to me, right? Because it's more of like a dialogue movie.
Yeah, they would make a space N-word. He would have to come up with something.
Space N-word.
He would have to come up with something.
Right.
just so he could use it in the movie.
That's great. On that note, we should leave it on that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, folks. Thank you for listening.
Stay tuned for the outro, folks.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
For making it this long.
A little longer than usual.
A little longer than usual, but we have, leave a comment about which maybe Star Wars movie trilogy you liked best.
That's a good one. We forgot to give a question. Didn't
we did. But which Star Wars trilogy you liked best, or maybe if you're even thinking about becoming a space mining capitalist in the future, or maybe even just, putting on your space mining hat. And your lamp.
Watch it, Miner. What's that game? Red Faction?
Yeah, Red Faction. Yeah. Or even what, maybe if you like Quentin Tarantino, what do you think he would, what kind of sci-fi series he should lead?
Trilogy of questions.
Yeah.
Very appropriate for this episode.
Perfect. And leave a like, comment, subscribe.
Share. You always forget share.
Share. Sharing is caring. It's the most important thing, actually.
Yes. And then also, guys, check out the website, eigenbros.com. Mm-hmm. Check out our cool math integrals we just added on there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, check out the Twitter, at eigenbros. Check out the TikTok, mm-hmm. eigenbros2. And then also check out the Instagram, which is at eigenbros as well. And we will see you guys next episode. Yeah.